that's past 1 o'clock.
This is a WFPL News Special. I'm Rick Howlett. Today our focus is education, and our guest is Jefferson County Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Donna Hargens. Dr. Hargens assumed the post of leader of Kentucky's largest school district on August 1st. She came to Louisville from Wake County Public Schools in North Carolina, where she was most recently chief academic officer. Welcome, Dr. Hargens.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Good to have you today. This hour, Dr. Hargens will field questions from WFPL's Devin Katayama, who covers education issues for our news department. And we, of course, also want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Hargens, our number is 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-877-814-8255. That's 877-814-TALK. You can email us at news@wfpl.org. Send us a tweet at WFPL News. We're also on Facebook. If you have a child at JCPS, has the beginning of the school year gone smoothly so far? Have a question or thought about a student assignment or student achievement? And you can reach us through those various means. Now here's WFPL's Devin Katayama.
Thanks, Rick. Welcome to the station.
Thank you very much.
When you first came in here, I was surprised because you came by yourself, and I'm so used to seeing you with a crew of people. But today you're flying solo.
That's right.
I'm curious, because we were talking before the show began about the media attention that you've been receiving since you've been in Jefferson County and how it compares to your former Wake County school district. Can you talk a little bit about that? How has it been since you've been here with the media and what you've been seeing?
Well, I was in Wake County Public Schools, which is a large district, the 18th largest district. So there was a lot of media and a lot of media attention. Education is an important issue and topic, so we want to communicate our story through the media. So I'm used to media.
So you were hired this summer, and why did you decide to take the job? What brought you here?
Well, I had the opportunity while I was in Wake County not only to be the chief academic officer, to also be the interim superintendent. I did that for 10 and a half months. So I certainly had the confidence to know that I could do this job. And when I saw the ad, frankly, I was attracted to it. So I had a great job in Wake County. But there was something about the ad that attracted me to Jefferson County Public Schools.
Did anybody tell you about the ad, or did you just come across it on your own? How did that come?
I actually came across it in Education Week. I read Education Week regularly, and the ad was there, and there were so many components that just made it seem very attractive.
So what are you bringing from Wake County to Jefferson County? What have you learned over there that they were doing really well that you implement here in the county here?
Well, actually, I understand a large school system. So being from a large school system, I think that's that's an advantage to understanding Jefferson County. The focus in any district is about student achievements. So how do you do that in a large district, and how do you communicate that and put the resources and things in place for teachers? So I bring that. The other thing I bring is the experience of having done a curriculum management audit, and we're actually in process right now of doing that here in Jefferson County. So I not only help facilitate the process, but also implemented the recommended actions.
Now I want to get to that audit a little bit later. Okay. What's Jefferson County doing well since you've been here? You've been here working 46 days, correct? This is your 46th day?
That's correct. County weekends, that's right.
What have you seen in the county during that 46 days that maybe Wake County didn't do that Jefferson County is doing really well?
Well, there are lots of excellent things going on, and I've been to 26 schools already. So I go and see, I've seen excellent things. I've seen opportunities for students to make learning relevant in career-themed kind of situations. And I've seen teachers working really hard. I've seen adults being pushed into the classroom to lower the student-teacher ratio. So I've seen excellent thing and met excellent people. But what it's about in a big system is not only seeing some pockets of excellence, but creating systems and structures that create a system of excellence. So we want to take all of those good things and make sure that there's a system of excellence that benefits every student.
Now, that's interesting. You mentioned the career theme, because that's something that I've moved here a few months ago myself, but that was something that attracted me, or I was paying particular attention to, because it's kind of unique to the county. What do you like about those career-themed schools?
Well, what it does is it makes learning relevant. You can see how to apply the learning. And it also gives you the opportunity to establish relationships with professionals in the community that do that kind of work. So, and it's also rigorous. In order to prepare for work in the 21st century, you have to have great academic skills. So it's motivating to students to know that you're going to have to learn how to do math and science well in order to work in the medical profession. So it has all of those elements.
Now, you initially introduced a 90-day plan. With that plan came five themes: student achievement, teamwork, community engagement, high-quality teachers, and fiscal organizational accountability. How is that going? I know that you put it up online, and people are free to go online and check the progress of how you're accomplishing the goals and the themes. But are you on track to finish within the 90 days?
Absolutely, we're on track. And in fact, the whole purpose of the 90-day plan was to guide our work as a team, but also to model to the community that we intend to be transparent and accountable about the progress that we're making. So as you indicated, you can go online and see which things we've accomplished and which things we've started and things yet to do. So we're making great progress in a short period of time.
Talk about some of the themes. Talk about some of the things that you've been doing specifically with the community engagement or with educating the new teachers that are in the district.
Well, and actually, the priority number one is student learning and student achievement. So if you go online, you'll see our baseline of data, where we're starting from. We're talking about, obviously, how to support persistently low-achieving schools. The curriculum management audit falls in there. The second one is about governance and teamwork. The board and I have been working together to form a really strong, cohesive leadership team that focuses on student achievement. So that work's been going on. Engaging the community. I've done multiple meetings with community members, and I'm really on a listening and learning tour, asking people what's good about Jefferson County and what are your dreams for Jefferson County. And I think it's important to have strong relationships, not only with the community, but with KDE, the Kentucky Department of Education, and also with staff. So we've been working just all engaged around talking about our hopes and dreams for Jefferson County.
I imagine being new to the county, listening is a big part of your job right now. The 90-day plan was a combination between what the board had prepared for you, transitioning you into the district, and also your own thoughts about how you wanted to, start work in the district. Is that correct?
That's correct. When I entered Jefferson County, there was a board transition plan. And part of the plan was to do a superintendent search. So as we saw some of those things being done, what I did was incorporated the things that were remaining into my 90-day plan, along with, like you said, establishing five priorities.
And I think we have a call right now.
Yes, again, we're talking with Dr. Donna Hargan, Superintendent of Jefferson County Public Schools, on this WFPL News Special. We welcome your calls, 502-814-TALK. That's 502-814-8255, or toll-free, 877-814-8255. We do have had a couple of callers waiting for a while, so let's get to the phones. And we'll begin with Kim. Kim, hello. Dr. Hargan is here.
Hello.
Do you have a question for Dr. Hargan?
Yes, thank you for taking my phone call.
You're welcome.
I want to talk about the Showcase for Schools, which is coming up in October, that you've never attended, Doctor. And as a parent, I would like to make this comment. 2 years ago, my family and I attended the Showcase for Schools looking for a good middle school for my daughter. And when I got there, I was very surprised. It was a very congenial atmosphere. It was a great place for parents to have all the schools in one place. However, I found it very disparaging in the fact that I felt like everyone that was represented there by every school that was there placed more importance on a child's grade point average in order to get into a good school than the student overall. It was very, very disheartening to my daughter at that age. She has a slight learning disability, a memory issue, and when we were very forthright with that with the schools, more or less, it was really based on the fact that if she didn't have a 3.0 or higher grade point average, she was not going to get into a good middle school. And as a parent, it's very scary. Well, I ended up getting her into one of the most excellent middle schools, Highland Middle School, And it was only because of my dogged, pursuant attitude in order to do that that she was able to get in here. And because she was able to get into Highlands, her grade point average now is 3.8 to 4.0. So I think that everyone who is represented at that showcase for schools really needs to kind of back off the fact that a student's overall performance is actually based on test scores and grade point averages, because there is more to students than just that.
I absolutely agree, and I appreciate that feedback. And you're right, I've never been to a school showcase, but I absolutely agree. That's for every student, and every student needs to be in a great school. So thank you for that feedback. I will pay attention to that.
Well, what initiatives are going on right now that kind of are geared more towards what the caller was talking about? Anything specific?
Well, actually, there's a lot going on in schools regarding, and I've been to over 20 schools or 25 schools, actually, and I've seen a lot going on that's integrating and really showcasing lots of different talents, like art and music. And I see lots of wonderful activities that students are engaged in and productive. So I see the multiple dimensions of students being successful. And it's not just about a number. But so I've seen that in schools. But that's really what the showcase is to celebrate, all the opportunities for students to be successful in multiple different ways.
Now, numbers and data do seem like a big part of the job. And they do seem like a big part of what we keep waiting on to see how our schools are doing. Can you talk a little bit about your governing style? The former superintendent had a very academic, big academic background. He wrote books and articles. What would you say your governing style and background is?
Well, actually, I started as a teacher. So I was a teacher for 7 years, an assistant principal, a principal for 12 years. So, and then in central services in multiple roles, including, like I said, interim superintendent. So to me, it's about learning and it's about the students, and it's about actually getting in there and listening and seeing how we can support teachers, because that's where the learning happens, in the classroom. So you have to have support for a teacher and support for the principal to ensure that students can learn. So I like to visit schools and actually see the evidences that we have the support structures in place to make sure that every student is successful.
Let's go back to the phones, and Marvin has been waiting. I'm sorry, Martin. Martin, what's your question for Dr. Hargens?
I don't have a question per se. I just want to commend Dr. Hargens. I think she's off to a great start. I think she's a very good fit for Jefferson County. It comes at the right time in terms of her base of experience and coming from the district that she did. I think she sounds very hands-on, very pragmatic. And as an educator, I think anybody who is a teacher, educator, recognizes that when they hear Dr. Hargens talk about her 90-day plan and her bigger perspective on education. So you go, girl.
Thank you, Martin.
Martin, do you have children in the system?
I don't have children, but I'm a former teacher with JCPS, and as a taxpayer, all of us have a stake in the education system from that perspective and just the progress of the community at large. So,
all right.
Again, welcome and glad to have you here.
Thank you, Martin.
Thanks for your call, Martin.
I'm glad he brought that up. My next question was going to be about your interaction with teachers and teachers' unions. I know there was a lot of uncertainty with the teachers' union when you were coming here. They didn't really know what to expect. But how has communication with them gone so far since you've been here?
It's been great. What I've done is, and as I said, I was a teacher for 7 years in Wisconsin. So I actually attended a training at the JCTA office that was provided for teachers on a Saturday morning. And I was able to meet with the board of directors and have met with the leadership from JCTA. So, and what I love to do is go into schools and talk to teachers and listen to teachers. So I think teachers are certainly a key. So I want to talk to as many teachers as I can, and I intend to have a close working relationship with teachers.
We're visiting today with Dr. Donna Hargens, the superintendent of Jefferson County Public Schools. If you have a question or a comment for Dr. Hargens, Give us a call at 502-814-TALK. That's 502-814-8255. You can also reach us toll-free at 877-814-8255. You can email us, news@WFPL.org is the address. Send us a tweet at WFPL News, and we're also on Facebook. Have a question about student assignment, student achievement? You have a child in JCPS, and how's the year gone for you thus far? We'd love to hear from you. Again, it's 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255, or toll-free, 877-814-8255. We're going to take our first break, and we'll be back with more in a moment. This is a WFPL News special.
Support for WFPL comes from the Kentucky Center's Leo A Little Off Center series, presenting the Brooklyn Rund Funk Orchestra, performing The Hills Are Alive, blending rock, jazz, hip-hop, R&B, and country into a musical mix as they perform songs from Rodgers and Hammerstein's The Sound of Music. Thursday, the 22nd at 8 in the Baumhart Theater. Tickets at 584-7777 or KentuckyCenter.org. From St. John's Center for Homeless Men, celebrating 25 years of lighting the way, hosting a public open house Sunday the 25th from 2 till 5. St. John's Center meeting each man where he is and helping him reach his full potential. More about St. John's Center's 25th anniversary open house on Facebook or at stjohncenter.org. St. John's Center is donor supported.
You're listening to a WFPL News special with Jefferson County School Superintendent Donna Hargens. Coming up next on Q, Gianna Gomeshi talks with actress Jessica Chastain. That's at 2 this afternoon on 89.3 WFPL.
And welcome back to our WFPL News special with Jefferson County Superintendent Dr. Donna Hargens. I'm Rick Howlett, and I'll turn it back over to WFPL's Devin Katayama.
Now, the University of Louisville is going to be working with some of the principals this year, and they're working with them for the year. Is that correct? At this point, it's just a year contract?
Actually, U of L is everywhere throughout JCPS, so working with principals, and actually I've seen students in classrooms.
Some of the things, when they met for the first time, I believe last week, Sam Stringfield and Craig Hochbein of U of L were mentioning the same thing that you were saying. A lot of the responsibility is going to be the people that are working in the classrooms, because they are seeing the progress of the student and they're working closely with the parents. But I find it interesting that there's so many new teachers and so many new principals in the district and in certain schools. So how do they expect or prepare to work so intensely and intimately when they're so new?
Well, and actually what needs to happen is that it needs to be clear to everybody what students are expected to learn, and that needs to be in documents so that everybody can see it. And then there are lots of tools in JCPS that assess if students know it or not. And then there needs to be structures in schools to provide extra time and support around learning. So when someone new comes into a building, I've been in a high school, DOS High School. They say they show someone the DOS way. They explain all of those different parts so that they can be successful. The other thing is professional learning teams. Teachers are working together in learning teams, sharing what they know, working on strategies to help students. So it may be hard to be new, but if there are structures in place, there's a way to fit right in.
Are those structures in place?
Those structures are in place in many of our schools, and that would be what I would refer to as those pockets of excellence, where you see that in place. You want that in place in every school. So if someone's child goes to school A, they've got that same access to that support and structure if they go to a different school.
How difficult is it to make it uniform across the district?
Well, and again, I don't think you want to make everything uniform. What I think you want to do is be sure that every school has an answer to those questions. It might look a little bit different at a particular school, but if you can't answer those questions, then you don't have the systems and structures in place.
Now, some of the things teachers are going to be expected to adhere to this year is also the Common Core State Standards. And that's something that Kentucky has seen coming for a while. They were the first to jump on board with the Common Core State Standards. A recent report that was released by the Center on Educational Policy was saying that a lot of teachers, or superintendents, I should say, felt like their districts weren't prepared as well as they should be. What has Jefferson County done to make sure that the Common Core State Standards will go smoothly this year?
Well, actually, the Jefferson County has worked closely with KDE, with the Kentucky Department of Education. And we have devised curriculum maps or guides that really explain the Common Core to teachers and give them resources like assessments. So that helps take something that is complex and actually gives a roadmap. Then teachers can use that as what students are expected to learn and really use their energy to devise strategies and ways to help kids with individual needs. So we have prepared documents, and certainly KDE has prepared documents so that people are ready and understand what the Common Core means.
And your 90-day plan, you mentioned keeping and making high-quality teachers. What does a high-quality teacher look like?
What a high-quality teacher does is, again, knows what students are expected to learn, but then uses their talent and their creativity to begin to develop ways to teach and to reteach and to enrich. So that's a teacher that needs lots of tools in their toolbox, because students come with different needs. So the ability to look at data and the ability then to do something with that data to help a student.
We have a lot of callers on the line waiting to talk to Dr. Hargens. Let's go to the phones. And next is Karen. Hi, Karen. What's your question for Dr. Hargens?
Actually, I have two comments. I know that this is a big concern across the city as far as children being bused. I'm a big proponent for diversity, but I'm a therapist in town, and I have a good deal of my clients are young kids in elementary school, middle school, who the parents can't be involved because their child is being bused across town. They don't have transportation, and some of them have never been to their kids' schools. And also because maybe they're across town and they don't have transportation, they're not able to be involved when their children have any kind of behavior problems. One of my biggest concerns and frustrations is when families come in and they will say, my child's teacher told me that my kid has ADHD and needs to be on medication. Or they are told my kid can't come back to school until he's on medication. They will say stuff like, well, he had a bad day. Is he on medication? Can you come out here and give it to him? And it gets really frustrating hearing that message over and over, not just to the parents, but to me too, where in order for a child to be compliant, that they have to be on medication. And my hope is that, and I don't mean to down, JCPS or teachers or whatever, but I would love to be able to work with teachers in helping support them. And I'm hoping that that's what our new superintendent will do too, is to come up with other skills, other strategies that that teachers can have to help kids who are having behavior problems without diagnosing them when they're not able to diagnose them, without putting so much stress on medication.
And there were two things in there. One was the issue about student assignment and parent involvement. And I would encourage everyone that's listening to read Dr. Orfield's recommendations and to participate in the sessions that let people react to them. Because some of the concerns that you expressed are addressed in that plan. The second thing is, I totally agree, is that we need multiple strategies to help students be successful. And you want to do the thing that you don't want to put students on medication if there's no need to. So we need to look at multiple strategies and also intervene early and make sure that we're teaching students skills that can help them be successful. So I think we're in agreement. But again, I encourage you to read the Dr. Orfield's plan and look at his video.
All right, Karen, thanks very much for your call. Let's go back to the phones, take another call. We have quite a few folks lined up here. Let's go to Breck. Breck, you're on WFPL with Dr. Hargens. Hello, are you there?
Sorry, Breck, is that me?
Yes.
Hey, thanks. Hey, Dr. Hargens, I'm going to give you like the best softball question in the world. I'm a parent of three in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a product of public education. My wife and I are both physicians. However, presently, we actually are paying private school for our kids in Jefferson County. So my question is very simple and it's very direct. What can you do to reach out to the very large pool of money that's out there to attract the private school dollars back into the public school system? And if you have a plan for that, that I would love to hear that. But even if you just have some 2 cents, I would love to hear that. And I'll take my call, you know, off the air.
Thanks, Breck.
So actually, when I hear that someone has chosen to go to a different school because they're not satisfied with Jefferson County Public Schools, that concerns me greatly. So I very much want Jefferson County Public Schools to be the choice. And I think you become the choice by demonstrating that at every school, students are being successful. So we know that's what we're working on is learning. And I believe as that improves, that parents will see that Jefferson County Public Schools is an excellent choice for their students.
If you have a question or comment for Dr. Donna Hargens, JCPS Superintendent, you can reach us at 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255, or toll-free 877-814-TALK. And again, that's 8255. You can email us at news@wfpl.org. You can send us a tweet at WFPLNews, and we're also on Facebook. We have a lot of folks waiting. Let's go back to the phones and take a call from Susan in East Louisville. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I am a JCPS parent. About 8 years, most recently on the SBDM of a high-performing elementary school. And what I've noticed, and I'm hoping that the superintendent can take a close look at, is principal accountability. We have a school with awesome, excellent teachers who are strong, they support each other, and keep the school running and the students performing at a high level. However, most recently, we had the KDE's TEL survey data, which looked as though it was very thoughtfully prepared. The information seemed objective, but yet it doesn't look as though Jefferson County reviews that information to assess the accountability of the principals. The principals who are motivated and want to work hard and lead a school successfully seem to be able to do that with the current system, but those who do not, who are not passionate, not motivated, seem to be able to basically do whatever they want. And I just wanted to get some comments off the air. Thank you.
Well, and thank you for your service on the council. That's important work, so thank you for doing that. And that information is great information. In fact, I met with assistant superintendents to ask them how they're using that information with principals, because I'm data-driven, and we need to be data-driven, and we need to look at that data. And in the state that I came from, that was an important source of data that really is about getting better, looking at that data and then creating strategies to get better. So we are definitely going to look at that data.
A part of your 90-day plan, I was looking at some of the documents that were supplemented to that, had a principal survey, I think that was. Was that what it was? It was a blank sheet, but it said, you know, had like something that you could fill out as a principal or a teacher that they might be taking. Was that part of your 90-day plan?
Actually, I don't recall that specifically, okay. But in general, it's about what it's about is asking people, everybody, community principals, teachers, things that we should keep doing, stop doing, and start doing. So you're right, that was in there. So I've been asking people those same questions, so and listening carefully to the answers.
Well, how do you judge what a principal does non-data-wise and for the good of the school? How do you take away that data and then look at a situation or look at a school and say, you know, it's making progress regardless of maybe lower test scores?
Well, actually, when you look at, and the data is actually online about how you can look at a school and you can see its trend and you can see if what I call the arrows going in the right direction. Is the school making progress? So you should see a positive trend and you should celebrate that that's a positive trend. So I like to display data in a way that you can see not only the proficiency, but is there a positive trend, and also the challenges of the number of subgroups. So there is school-by-school data on the website that can give you an indication of if schools' arrows are going in the right direction.
Well, what percent of your job do you think deals with data? Sounds like a lot.
Well, I think the world deals with data. Whenever you want to get better at something, you have to really know where you are. So I don't think it's just education. It's every element of society is looking at data and setting goals to improve. It's about continuous improvement.
Let's take a call from Rhonda in Okolona. Hi, Rhonda. Welcome to WFPL.
Thank you.
You have a question or comment for Dr. Hargens?
Yes, I do have a question. I am a parent of an elementary school student, and my question, I guess, is about, you mentioned fiscal responsibility and its importance within the district, because I know in this tough and economic times, everybody's struggling, and I know my child's school budgets are being cut like crazy, and there's not money for textbooks or new technology, and I just had a major concern, I guess, and this is specific to my school, but we had a playground that was demolished, and we built an $80,000 new playground. And I feel like, I guess, that money was wasted when it should have been. Like you said, that students' achievement is based in the classroom, not necessarily on the playground. How will you deal with that, and who's accountable for that?
Well, when the auditors come in, the external auditors from the curriculum management audit, one of the things they're going to look at is how we spend money and what we spend it on. And my goal, and that is a priority, is to make sure that we look at how every dollar is spent and that the dollars are spent in a way that impacts learning and impacts students. So we need to be accountable for every dollar that we spend. So that's part of what we're reviewing right now. And if there's a way to save dollars, we need to be doing that also. But the mission of a school system is student achievement and learning. So we're really looking at ways to make sure that every dollar is spent that way. So I think your point is well taken.
All right, Rhonda, thanks for your call. We're going to stick in Oklahoma, in Jefferson County, and talk to Annie. Hi, Annie, you're on the air. Are you
Hi,
there?
Hi, thank you.
Go right ahead.
I wanted to ask Dr. Hargens, I hear a lot of talk about the elementary and middle school and high school levels. What are your plans and priorities for the early childhood Head Start pre-K programs?
That's a great question, Annie, and absolutely the pre-K training and teaching is really, really important, because we know that when our students come to kindergarten, they come to kindergarten at different levels, and we need all of our students to know certain things when they come to kindergarten. So pre-K is really important. Vocabulary development is really important. That daycares know about vocabulary development, really important. So learning starts way before students get to Jefferson County Public Schools. So that needs to be a priority, not only for us, but we need to work with the community and with parents, that everybody understands what it means to be ready to start kindergarten.
Now, Annie brings up a good point, or she brings up a point, the K. That's the race to the top is kind of focusing on early childhood education. Do you have any communication or are you working at all with KDE on their grant, which I think they're writing right now for that?
They absolutely are writing a grant, and we're very supportive of that. And we're also looking at the different things that we do in Jefferson County around pre-K and to align those efforts. So we want to make sure, like I said, that we're doing it in the most efficient way possible, and we're reaching as many students as possible. So it would be a great world if we could have pre-K for every student, but we need to make sure that we're using the dollars that we do have and any dollars that we can get efficiently.
I also know that Dr. Gary Orfield's recommendations included extending it to kindergarten. Is that something that you'd be on board with?
And actually, he was talking about the student assignment plan, and I think the point that he makes is that you really want to have a smooth flow, and you don't want to have a transition for a kindergarten student. Teachers talk to teachers, so first grade teachers need to be talking to kindergarten teachers so that it's seamless. You don't have to spend time learning what a kid needs. You already know because you're talking to each other.
Is the kindergarten something that you think you'd be on board with as far as including that in the busing plan?
Actually, we're still reviewing Dr. Orfield's plan, so I don't really have an assessment of his plan, but I certainly understand the rationale.
502-814-TALK is our number, 502-814-8255. If you have a question or comment for Jefferson County Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Donna Hargens, you can also reach us toll-free at 877-814-8255. And digitally, you can get in touch with us at news@wfpl.org. Send us a tweet at WFPLNews. And we're also on Facebook. Rick Howlett here with WFPL's Devin Katayama. And we'll take another break and be back with more in a moment. This is a news special on WFPL.
Support for WFPL comes from Optique by Correct, now open in Prospect, offering optical frames, handcrafted works of wearable art from international designers in a variety of styles, colors, and materials, providing an optical shopping experience focused on attentive service. More at optikbycorrect.com. From Prodigal Ministries, a Louisville-based nonprofit, whose mission is to help men and women avoid prison return, recognizing all of those who helped make their Christmas in September event a success. Details at prodigalky.org.
You're listening to a WFPL News special with Jefferson County School Superintendent Donna Hargens. She's discussing the issues facing the district. And later today on Point, now that the 100-watt incandescent standard light bulb is going away, what will be coming next? We'll find out. That's On Point, coming up this afternoon at 3 here on 89.3 WFPL.
This is a WFPL News special. I'm Rick Howlett, along with Devin Katayama, and we're talking this afternoon today with Jefferson County Public School Superintendent Dr. Donna Hargens, and we welcome your calls, 502-814-TALK, that's 814-8255, and toll-free, 877-814-8255. Dr. Hargens, I have a couple of Facebook comments. One person wants to know if our new superintendent is in support of a school nursing program at JCPS.
Nurses are very important, and so we need to provide that service, but how far the dollars will stretch, that's something that we need to look at.
And speaking of dollars, someone wants to know if the activity fees could be brought down to a reasonable level. Apparently, this person not able to afford the fees at their school. Is there a scale for activity fees, sliding scale, or some help for those who can't afford it?
Well, I would hope there's support for students who can't afford the activity fees, but that's something, again, when we look at the way we spend every dollar, that we need to look at.
And I guess that'll be happening later on, not necessarily with the audit, but within the next 90 days or within the 90-day plan. Is that going to be beginning?
We are beginning looking at how we're spending dollars and looking at cost savings, but it also will be through the regular curriculum management audit that they'll look at the way resources are distributed, and we'll get that plan. We should get the plan back in January, and that the full 400-page report will come back in January.
I want to go back to your relationship with the Board of Education. That's one of the things when they hired you, they felt like you were a better fit for a relationship with the board. But I don't want to necessarily talk about that. I want to know when you were initiated, when you were coming in and transitioning, what did you do that was your way when they had something planned for you, whether it was taking you around to different community members or if it was in the 90-day plan? What was something that you did Ms. Donna Hargens' way?
When I came for a visit prior to actually starting officially on August 1st, one of my priorities was to spend time with each board member. So I actually met individually with each board member. I think that was important. And during that time, even before I was on board, they had a board work session, and they were working on operating principles, and they were reading a book, which I think is great, about how do high-performing boards in districts where there is a high level of student achievement, what do those boards do? So they were actually analyzing best practices from across the country that helped develop the operating principles. So I'm very impressed. And we're also going to have a planning session about a plan, creating a plan and a vision and goals for Jefferson County. So, and they each are taking me for a half a day around to their districts, and we're visiting schools and meeting people. So we have a close working relationship already, and that will even become stronger.
Let's take another call for Dr. Donna Hargens. Abdul has been waiting in Eastwood. Abdul, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hargens. This
good
is
afternoon.
Dr. Hark. And I just had a little comment in response to the comment of the couple of physicians that had called. Their both husband and wife were physicians. Me and my wife are both physicians, and we live in Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
And we have three children, a daughter and two sons. And from the time they were not born, my daughter is 13, I had a passion to send them to Brandeis Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my friends go to KCD, and I tell you, I was passionate by that school even before my children were born, and I had promised myself they would go there.
Mm-hmm.
Going to a public school while we could afford private school, while most of our Pakistani peers were sending their children to KCD and elsewhere, we opted for Brandeis Elementary. All three of our children went to Brandeis. Two of our children are in Mizzique now. And the place far overmet our expectations. It's not the brick and mortar. It's not the setup of the building. It's the hearts that run the schools. The principal that was there then, Mizzique Elementary, Brandeis Elementary, these are some of the best schools that you can ever send our children too.
Well, thank you for supporting Jefferson County Public Schools. And I was at Brandeis Elementary on the first day of school, and I saw the heart that you're describing. So I'm glad your students are being very successful.
If I can just ask you a question, you speak a little bit about heart. What specifically was it? The communication between the school and you? Was it your child's face when they came home to school? What about it specifically?
It's a long story, but to cut that short on the air, I would say Michelle Sivak, which was the daughter of my partner, was the principal of that school, and as a physician partner, I used to visit her school, and he would show me it as an ideal school. That was about 15 years ago, and I was so impressed by the school, and I have been to KCD many times, and I'll tell you, there's nothing that matches the actual ingredients of learning in that school. And I would say the same thing for Mizzique. My daughter is performing at state and city and national levels. She's such a bright student, and so is my son Zohaib, who is 12. He's in seventh grade at Mizzique, doing wonders.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you.
That all comes from a public school. So I have nothing but positive things to say about the public schools.
Abdul, thanks for your call and thanks for your insights. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to the Highlands now. And Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Dr. Hargens, I wanted to know what your thoughts were on charter and also year-round schools. I remember, I think Dr. Dashner implemented those during his term as superintendent, and then they were done away with your predecessor. So, and I'll take my response off the air.
Thanks, Kevin.
Actually, the year-round schools, I have experience with year-round schools. It's the same number of days spread differently, and lots of people like that. We didn't really see that we've done studies that there was any increased learning over year-round schools. So the driver is not student achievement. It's really capacity of buildings, in my experience. And the other question that you had was about, what was the first part?
I believe he said charter schools.
Oh, charter schools. Charter schools to me are a choice, and I want there to be enough choices in Jefferson County Public Schools so that there is a choice that you want in Jefferson County Public Schools. So that's my opinion about that.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about persistently low-achieving schools. There's 13 now in Jefferson County, 22, I believe, in the state total. Jefferson County has 13 of those. What are those schools doing? I know they're on two different tracks because this year's track is basically being based off the new tests, correct? And last year's track, we're going off the old tests. So how are you supposed to find a model that's working when we're shifting around the way we're testing the students in the schools?
Well, you're exactly right. There are two cohorts. Cohort one has six schools in it. Their first year as a persistently low-achieving school was last year. We will get the results of how they did in September, sometime here in September. So we anxiously await because they've been obviously working a plan and working hard. Then there is a second cohort of schools, seven schools, that the 11-12 school year would be the first year. And you're right, the assessments are different. But what we're looking for is progress. And when we get that data, that will help us know what was working in those schools and what we need to do differently to support those schools in the second year. So we're looking forward to seeing that data.
For someone who hears the word progress and might not know what exactly that means, whether it's data or a combination of various factors, what kind of progress is acceptable and what does progress look like?
What you want to do is have more students who are scoring proficient. So you want to increase the number of students who are scoring proficient. So that's really the measure, and you want to see a positive trend over time.
So at this point, we're just talking about testing specifically.
That is really the measure in persistently low-achieving schools. You're right. It's based on the tests that they took, the assessments they took. And what I want to emphasize is that's not a bad thing. The assessments are based on the core standards or the standards that the students were supposed to learn. So it's a way to measure if they've learned that. And that's done. Measurement's not a bad thing.
Now, if we find out that this first round of six, I believe, schools in the first round haven't made adequate progress, will we consider something else other than the current model that we're using, which is basically to renovate the school staff?
In the 90-day plan, before I ever came on board, they had started working staff along with JCTA and the Association of Administrators had been working on a transformation model. So that was in development prior to my coming. So I picked up that and put it in the plan. And so we hope that we're going to have another model working with KDE that's a transformation model that might be an option if we have more persistently low-achieving schools, which there's a strong possibility, obviously, that we will when we get the scores in September.
I want to switch the conversation over a little bit to parents. I think parents, and this is completely my opinion, are kind of an underused resource when you're talking about schools and how a child progresses, because they do spend a lot of time at home. And I know that you worked the bus finder for a little bit, which was Jefferson County's attempt and resource for parents to go and locate the nearest bus, which was a big issue this year. What were those conversations like? Did you talk to parents and did they know that it was you on the phone? And what are your conversations with parents like?
They actually didn't know that it was me on the phone. But one of the things I want to say, the reason the first day went smoothly is in no small part to parents. Parents really made sure they knew what bus their student was supposed to be on and what bus stops. So they did a lot of work to make sure that their student was ready. So I really appreciate the parents. And the conversations I have with parents are partners. I was at a parent academy and talked to parents. Parents want to know how to help their students be successful. It's our responsibility to help them have tools and resources to help their students be successful. So I see parents as partners and powerful partners, because if we give them the right information and the right tools, they can help us help their students learn.
Now, when talking about parent involvement, and you look at the current JCPS student assignment plan, we heard one caller say that she hasn't even been to her child's school. How do you engage parents with the current way that the district is set up?
There are lots of ways to engage parents, and I think phone calls engage parents. I think home visits engage parents. I know a school went and toured the community and actually stopped and visited with parents. So there are lots of ways to interact with parents, and we need to do a lot of that. Parents need to have feedback about how their students are doing so they can, again, assist. So there are multiple ways to engage parents, and my bias is to engage them around learning. Is we should be talking about how we can help your student learn more. That's how the most power we can get from our partnership with parents.
Now, I know Dr. Orfield's recommendations within that was an increase in technology communications with parents. Is that something that you would be on board with? Is that something that you saw that and you were like, you know what, that's a good idea?
Bus Finder was such a perfect example of a way that a parent could call in. I would be at the computer. They'd give me their address, and I could tell them their options for buses. So I think that ability to use technology will help. But again, we need to make sure that there are multiple ways for parents to get their questions answered. If they don't have internet access, which someone calling in didn't have internet access, but we can help them know what bus stops were options for them. So there are ways to, I think, bridge that.
Now, can we get a response to your initial reaction to Orfield's recommendations? I know it's still really premature to say make any decisions, but were you impressed? Did you see things that you liked in there? If so, what were they?
What the report is, and it's 35 pages, is very thoughtful and comprehensive, and there's a lot of data. It's very dense. So what I'm impressed about as I talk to people, how everyone is looking at it and thoughtfully considering it, and it's not rushing to, I like it or I don't like it, because they're taking the time to consider it. So I see that not only from the staff, but from parents and community members that I'm talking to, that they're really taking time. And then there will be structure set up so that people can come and give their feedback. So I think that's really important. We don't want to bias anybody a certain way. We want to really thoughtfully listen to what people really think about it.
I imagine the district wouldn't have asked Dr. Orfield to come in and make recommendations if they didn't intend on seriously considering what he was about to say. And I know Chair of the Board, Steve Imhoff, said that whoever we hire kind of needs to be on board with student assignment. But do you get a sense within the board that there will be leniency to changing some of the ways that student assignment works?
I saw the board as very open and very thoughtful as they listened to Dr. Orfield's report, and they got it on Monday evening along with the public, so it was accessible to the public. So we take this very seriously, and we're all looking at those recommendations very carefully.
How does our budget look?
One of the things that I'd like to point out about the budget is we have a working budget, and I did not recommend, and the board did not approve, or the board approved just asking for compensating rate, which meant that we would keep the revenue the same as last year. I think it's important to look at the way we're spending money and to make sure that we're using it most efficiently before we go to the public or ask the board to approve what would have been a 4% increase. So we kept the revenue the same last year. So we have enough money to do what we need to this year.
And I find it interesting when you look at the past, the previous 4 years, that there was large increases in the taxes. And this year, it seems like there's a lot of initiatives and a lot of projects that the schools are taking on. Why not ask for slightly more money?
The whole point of the curriculum management audit is to look at everything we're doing and really focus. So when you're doing a lot of, it's not about putting money into it. It's about thoughtfully considering what should our focus be and doing those things that are going to impact student achievement. So we need to take a careful look at that, and then we'll be prepared to say what money we need and what we need it for.
Last question or topic. Today you announced the audit, which is not going to be a monetary audit, correct? It's going to be a curriculum audit with 27 auditors coming in and checking out the way the school works. This will be used as a tool as well with everything else that we've seen and heard so far. When might this audit show results, and when might we start seeing some major changes in Jefferson County, or changes, I should say?
Well, and you're right, the audit looks at everything. It does look at finances, it looks at facilities, it looks at budget, transportation, everything, all parts of the system that impact learning. The auditors will be here the week of October 17th to actually visit schools, and then they will do their findings and recommendations, and we'll have a report. And the recommended actions actually become a blueprint for improvement, and it's about aligning and being more efficient and focused.
All right, we are out of time for today's program. The hour has gone by quickly. Dr. Donna Hargan, Superintendent, Jefferson County Public Schools, thanks so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
And come back soon. This news special was produced by the WFPL staff, and you can listen to it at WFPL.org. For Devin Katayama, I'm Rick Howlett. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.